Good evening. I call to order the Monroe Public Schools Board of Education. Board of Education meeting today is July 22nd, 2025, and the time is 7:05. Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Heck.
Here.
Mr. Dinkins.
Here.
Mrs. Myers.
Here.
Mr. Sabadini.
Here.
Mrs. Tarassi.
Here.
Mrs. Vincent.
Here.
Mrs. Williams.
Here.
Will we please stand for the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we get started, if anyone wishes to speak during the public commentary, there are forms in the back to your right, to our left. Please fill those out and hand those to Jamie, our administrative assistant, and then you'll be allocated with your time. Superintendent Shaw, are there any additions or deletions to the agenda tonight?
Sir, we have no deletions or additions.
Therefore, can I get a motion for the agenda?
I move.
This was a hard one to get, apparently.
Motion. I move that we approve the agenda as stated.
Do we have support?
I'll support.
Any discussion? Hearing none, can we have roll call, Jamie?
Yes, Mr. Dinkins.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Tarassi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes, and the motion passes 7-0. Superintendent comments.
Because we're in the month of July and everyone likes the beautiful weather outside before it gets really hot, I have none.
Okay, thank you. Then public commentary on board agenda items only.
There are none.
None? Okay. So then we'll go to the board discussion action items. We have a contracted services and our resignations report. Is there any discussion on that report?
I did have questions on that, but thank you for answering them in the work session. Much appreciated.
Okay. Next is our consent agenda. Are there any items that the board members would like to be moved off the consent agenda and moved into new business? Hearing none, can I get a motion to approve the consent agenda items B2A to item B2B?
I move to approve the consent agenda items B2A through B2B and considered and items be approved as recommended.
Do we have support?
Support.
Any discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have roll call?
Yes, Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Tarassi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Dinkins.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes, and the motion passes. Do we have any of the new hires in the audience tonight?
Yes, we do. We do. Come on up. We have Madison McIntyre. And she's going to go to the podium. And please introduce yourself. I know you're by yourself, so introduce yourself, where you're going to teach, where you went to school, and we'll shake your hand.
Okay. I am Madison McIntyre. I'm going to be teaching at Custer. I'm going to be teaching kindergarten. I'm very excited. I graduated from Eastern with a bachelor's in social work, and I actually ended up doing the alternative route program of Michigan through MARC, through the University of Michigan. And I'm very excited to be here, so thank you all.
All right. Thank you. As we move into our new business, just some background. All the items on the agenda have either been discussed in depth in work sessions or addressed in our weekly board briefs. So though we may move through these quickly, they have been thoroughly discussed and due diligence done by the board to review these prior to the meeting. And as a reminder, our work sessions are certainly open to the public and publicized on our website. Next, I'll turn it over to Superintendent Shaw, since Mrs. Joseph is not here tonight.
All right, so our first item, Mr. Payne is going to handle this with a Raisinville office furniture purchase.
Thank you, Mr. Shaw. We're asking the board to approve the purchase of Raisinville office furniture from Wolverine Furniture at a cost not to exceed $25,698.95. This will be funded by the curriculum budget. This is similar to what we did at Orchard. So this would be post-bond setup furniture replacement to accommodate the new office setup.
Do I have a motion?
All right. Looks like I'm up again tonight. I move to approve the purchase of Raisin DeVille office furniture from Wolverine Furniture at a cost not to exceed $25,698.95. This will be funded through the curriculum budget.
Do we have support?
Support. Oh,
curriculum budget.
Discussion.
Curriculum budget. Okay.
Question, Dave, is this replacing existing furniture or is this new into a new?
It's a little of both. So for instance, there was never a conference room. So okay. There is a table in a conference room. In the bond, we do pre-wire it for that. Mm-hmm. So like the nurse's office would be an existing replacement to accommodate the size. So there's built-in furniture. So like we added little refrigerators to accommodate the nurse, but there would be a little mini desk purchased based on the principal. We had gave them the plans and they met with Mr. Hoppert, came up with some drawings, went back, met with Mr. Hoppert, and he kind of picked what he wanted to go with. So
okay.
Well, it's got like a couch, and if I read the plans right, I mean, it's nice.
It's yes, and we
I think it's going to match maybe Monroe High School.
Mr. Hoppert's office is nicer.
Mr. Hoppert's is okay.
We're not tell Steve that.
Right.
He was watching, so too late.
Right.
Any further discussion or questions? If not, Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Sampolini.
Yes.
Mrs. Tarassi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Jenkins.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes, and the motion passes 7-0.
So for our next item is the personal communication device protocol. And I know that we had it on our agenda in the work session. We couldn't get to it. So I would ask that we go through the process of the motion. But we do have and would encourage our board to discuss out per Mary had asked for us to look at the board policy. And so we put that board briefs and the documents. And so I know Mr. Malapsi also would like to take a moment and talk about that. So as administration, we are asking for the board to approve formal support of the Monroe Public Schools personal communication device rubric and protocols for the 25-26 school year as presented. The board affirms its commitment to fostering a focused, distance, distraction-free learning environment and endorses the outlined procedures as an important component of supporting student academic and social successes.
The only problem is we did not discuss this at a work session.
We have to get a motion first.
Well, I'm saying why are we even putting it to a motion because we didn't finish the process in the previous work session. So shouldn't the discussion be held? Because once the motion's on the board, if it don't go through, it's done.
Yep.
I mean,
well, so what would happen?
Because there's a lot of logistics to work out.
That's your druthers right there. Honestly, at the end of the day on this one, because we didn't get a chance to talk about it further.
Right.
And I know that we've gone over the procedures and the student handbook.
But so, there's a request.
Yep.
Is there, I guess the question is, if we push it to the next work session, is that going to disrupt the implementation?
Oh, no, because really what we were asking the board to do is affirm the work we're going to do. Mm-hmm. Because unless there was a motion by a board member that says do not do this and their support, by the board and with four yes votes, then the work that's going to happen this fall is the work that's going to happen.
Yeah, this is just reaffirmation.
This is an affirmation of the work that the administration is asking to do to support the board policy.
Okay, so does anyone want to make a motion to affirm the policy?
Tom, I'd like to make a motion. I'd like to make a motion to endorse the school administration on their guidelines that they laid out in reference to personal communication devices. Thank them for the work they did on this matter.
Do we have support for that motion?
I'll support.
Okay, now a discussion by board members.
Okay.
So thank you, board members, for your consideration and your time to discuss this. So policy number 5136, which is personal communication devices, is something that I just wanted to make sure that the policy aligns with the, hold on, sorry, it's our rubric, but I want to make sure I'm calling it the right thing when I'm referencing it. So hold please, I'm going to be looking at two different things at the same time. Okay, so the Monroe Public Schools personal communication device rubric, right? So I just want to make sure that like verbiage is aligned, terms are aligned, and I'm very grateful because like personal communication devices is used in the policy as well as the rubric. So that's great. However, when I was looking at the policy, if you have it pulled up, if you don't, that's okay. There's a third paragraph that reads currently, for purposes of this policy, personal communication devices includes computers, tablets, e.g. iPads and similar devices, electronic readers, e-readers, e.g. Kindles and similar devices, cell phones, e.g. mobile cellular telephones, smartphones, e.g. BlackBerries, iPhones, Android devices, Windows mobile devices, etc., telephone paging devices, e.g. beepers or pagers, and or other web-enabled devices of any type. Students may not use PCDs on school property or at school-sponsored events to access or view internet websites and other blocked or student or otherwise blocked or students at school. Okay. So to align with the rubric, I'd like my fellow board colleagues to consider adding to our policy, right? So not editing the rubric, but editing the policy to add in smartwatches, because that's in the rubric, smart glasses, because that's in the rubric, earbuds, headphones, personal gaming devices, right? Because that's mentioned in the rubric. And those are also like modern advances in technology that are commonly used by our students in the hallways, unlike pagers.
Mm-hmm.
Pagers. I mean, hey, maybe beepers are going to come back. The 90s are coming back, guys. So maybe we could add those terms into the policy. It's just for your consideration. Obviously, we would need to do like a first reading, second reading, and all of that in order to do this per expectation.
Yeah.
It's just something for you to consider. Something else that I want you to, for board colleagues to consider, in that same paragraph, it mentions, it talks about computers and tablets, which can be confusing because our students use computers during the school day. So maybe we should say computers and tablets not owned by Monroe Public Schools, because we use them quite frequently throughout the curricular day as part of educational practice. So consider adding that to that same paragraph. And then, oops. And then later in the policy, there's a paragraph that reads, also during after school activities, PCDs shall be powered off completely, not just placed into vibrator silent mode and stored out of sight when directed by an administrator or sponsor. Now, that is contradictory to what reads, it sounds contradictory to what reads earlier in the policy. If you really read into it, it's not contradictory, but if we could just refine the phrasing there so it's not confusing, just to basically say, if an administrator or a school sponsor says, hey, that device is distracting during this after school extracurricular activity, please power that off and put it away, that would be great.
Well, if you go to the second paragraph, the first sentence, I think that's what you're referring to.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it says they may use them before and after school, during school activities, extracurricular, school-related functions.
Right.
And then you're right, there's a contradictory there, and there's also a contradictory lower on.
Right.
Yeah. There's two.
Right, but if you really read into it, it says that the paragraph says that it's when the administrator or the sponsor directs you to power it off. So I think if we just rephrase it more clearly, that would be helpful.
But when school's out, school's out. After school is after school. You're out of school. I thought the whole conversation that we had was that once school's out and that bell goes, that they can have their phones.
They can, unless it's
a school event.
A school event, athletics, an extracurricular, play practice.
So you can't, this is where the conversation, then I'll let Mary finish because this goes into mine then.
Right. So that is, but that's also true for like behavior at school sponsored events too, right? So like students are subject to like the school code of conduct and things like that when they're at school events. So like if you're at an after school band rehearsal and you decide to fill in the blank, brink whatever school rule, you're subject to school rules as if it was during the school day. So like if you're at marching band rehearsal in the evening and you have your phone out, it's as if you're during the school day. So I just feel like if we could just rephrase it so it's crystal clear instead of needing to like put your lawyer hat on and be like, well, technically, I think that could be really helpful. But those are the two areas where I feel like we could add a couple of details to the paragraph I mentioned earlier, and then just provide alternate phrasing to get really clear later on. I think that could be helpful.
Yeah, I think obviously we're going to be going over some of the NEOLA policies. This one can certainly be updated in the next go round.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe put a priority on this one.
Which is why it's almost impossible to have a vote tonight, because the language in here, I know based on what I'm looking at, the language in here matters. I think the usage of cell phone controls at a football game, and it says that you can't, what did it say? Students may not use on school property or at a school-sponsored activity to access or view internet websites that are otherwise blocked or students at school. And so I think that we're really touching a fine line to say for your entire being, if you come on the property, like, you know, there's a lot of things that you can go on, websites you can go on that aren't for during the school day that aren't bad. You know, I think that there's a policing there that maybe is not necessary. I also think that when we talk about students have no expectation of confidentiality with respect to their devices on the property, I also, we have to look at people's First Amendment rights and people's right to their own set of privacy and confidentiality. And to me, I think we're falling into some of the First Amendment and maybe some of those amendment restrictions that we don't have the authority to do because it's written in the Constitution. I think it's a policing beyond what I think we have the ability to do or should do.
So the policy says students shall have no expectation of confidentiality with respect to their use of PCDs on the school premises. It's not that they have no right to confidentiality in their devices and what's on their devices. It's the fact that if a student has their device out of their pocket in hand walking through the hallways, they can't expect for a teacher to not say, hey, your device is out, put that away, or hey, your device is out, you need to take that down to the office. They can't say, hey, that's none of your business, this is my private device.
But it's the access, and I would have to go through this because I really thought we were going to go through this in a work session. So I think some of these clarities could be put in there. But I think that when it talked about the obtaining of the cell phone, and that if there is stuff on there that the school can access it. And I just think without probable cause, we're just falling into a fine line there on people's person. That is their personal cell phone. I get it, it's school property, but you know, if you're going to allow it,
The policy also says that the only way that content would be removed from a student's device is, first off, it's may be directed to delete. A student may be directed to delete audio or picture or video file. It's only with the parent or guardian present.
Yeah.
So
again, it's just a conversation of different things that I see in there, things that you see in there that, you know, if we want a vote on this, I'm just saying, if you want my vote on this, I would like some clarity on the ability for kids to be have, like, they're not, it's not a police state.
So tonight's clarity is in the first paragraph and the first paragraph only, because that's what this rubric is referring to for this coming school year, is that students may use personal communication devices before and after school. They must be powered completely off, i.e. not just placed into vibrate mode and silent mode, and stored out of sight in a location at the discretion of the building administrator. Mm-hmm. That's all we're talking about. Everything else underneath here, we can get in there and dissect the rest of that.
Yeah. Because it says that they can't, it says they may use it before or after school, but later on, to Mary's point,
but that's
it starts.
This is from the moment you walk through the building, doors of the building, to the moment you walk out. That's all this is referring to.
Right, but I'm not referring to so much as what goes on in the building. I'm looking at these extracurriculars, being on the football field, going to a game somewhere, going and watching a swim meet somewhere, and say, well, that's a school-sponsored activity. We, the school, control what you do with your phone. I think that's way too far.
Well, to the point.
I think what's in the building, yes.
That's what I'm saying. That's all we're focused on right now.
But that's not what the policy focuses on.
Yeah, but we're not voting on the policy. We're voting on the rubric.
On Gary's motion.
To support the rubric. That's all we're doing.
Yeah.
This is just
need a deeper conversation around the rest of those 8 paragraphs, 12, 14 paragraphs.
Yeah,
there.
It's a long one. Yes.
There's no doubt we have to update the policy. It's a doozy. Because it's outdated to start with when it talks about BlackBerries.
Pagers.
So
the policy was done in 2012. Just as an idea how long it's been sitting around.
Yeah.
So I guess the only question I would have had real quick is what has changed between 2012 and now that we felt like that we needed to clarify this or have a rubric that said
enforcement.
What we're going to do.
So 2012 is when they developed this policy.
Right.
2020 is when the Board of Education adopted it. And so it's gone through updates since 2012. What you'll see in our policies is anytime that we do an adoption, you'll see the different dates of when we've made any adjustments to our policy. So, for example, our board adopted this policy in February 25th, 2020. And then down the road, because there's a lot of conversation, this policy will be revised to reflect the conversations that are beginning here tonight.
So in the motion, it says the rubric of which we discussed. What protocols is it referring to if it's not the policy? It says rubric and protocols for the 25-26 school year. So if it's only the rubric, what are the protocols?
In some of it is those building internal protocols, like no phones, kind of almost like a zero tolerance, except for some of those exceptions that's noted in the handbook proposal for K through 4, and then the determination of where the 5-6 building is having students, those protocols, those building level protocols for storage of phones during the day, powering on, powering off, what that looks like within those three different levels of buildings. So that I believe those would be the protocols that we're talking about in the motion.
Yeah, we have different protocols depending on the grade range and the building.
Lockers at the middle school and the high school, orchard and the 5-6 have storage within the classroom.
So looking at the rubric, and I don't know why it's not in my hand, but that's fine. I know it's in there. I just have it. It's not my, doesn't matter that I don't have it in my hand. So our current policy was you weren't supposed to have your cell phone out. You go through a discipline policy. We have a 3-step policy on this, correct?
Yes. So
So some of these students can get to step 3 on day 2.
No, so one of the things that we shared was, and it will go for all students, so in that first 3, 4, 5 weeks, there's going to be a lot of grace. There's going to be a lot of teaching. You might move into our district in the middle of October. You're going to have a lot of grace. You're going to have a lot of teaching. And understand that the steps are really simple. Step 1 is that your phone is stored in the office for the remainder of the day. You make a phone call home. If a second violation occurs, phone is stored in the office until parent guardian picks it up the device. student make a phone call home. Final one is phone is permanently stored in the office upon arrival. So that's a three-stop.
So it's not actually an implementation date on day one. The rubric's not going to come into effect for three to four weeks after that.
Right.
So we're not approving the rubric at the start of the school year. You're because just, if we're not going to use it, we're not going to use it.
We're going to do a lot of teaching through this. I mean, this is going to get publicized that we want, this is the expectation. You walk through the doorway, your phone is off. It's like we're going to teach our bus drivers that kind of always remind kids when you get off the bus, power them off. And, you know, and they come through. But we know that we're going to have to work with kids. I was talking with our high school principal today about it, that we're going to have some kids, as we are predicting, maybe this won't happen, that are going to struggle mightily giving up their phone. So we're going to have to find out why. And so that takes time to have to work on the why. And then understand helping them to understand why we're doing what we're doing, and then where their phone would then be stored. Because they may, that child's phone, due to reasons they give, may just be always in the office.
So do we need to change the motion to say that this isn't going to be effective until like September or October 1st? Because either we're following it or we're not.
Hey, Gary, may I ask if you could reread your motion to me? Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion to endorse the school administration and their guidelines that they laid out in reference to the personal communication devices, and then thank them for the work they did on this matter.
Can I ask a question about the, so in the violation steps, mm-hmm. when you get to the third violation,
yep.
is there any movement back from, or are you stuck at
so it could be forever? Because as we've shared in the past, kids are kids, and so we try to teach from that. And so there are some kids that have the potential to earn just through time and go, okay, let's try this out again.
But that's not built in there.
No, but that's what we already do a lot of times with our kids throughout everything. You're not going to put it in writing because, after this much time, you can earn it back. There are some kids that, based on the situation and again that third time through a conversation, could earn it back, or we're trying to help them understand responsibility and we foster that there with them. So, but it's, the idea for the kids is this, and it's really our administrators know, because the teachers, again, I'm going to repeat that many times. I know we've got a teacher out here and teachers potentially watching. Teachers are not going to fight cell phones. It's really simple, Gary. So you got your phone out in your possession today. It's a cell phone violation. Please go to the office. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going. Gary, if you don't go, I'm going to make a phone call. Someone will come get you. So either walk or someone's going to come get you. No fight. At the office, then that's where the administrator and Gary have a deep conversation about why Gary is not willing to follow the cell phone policy. And that's where we really, our administrators do a phenomenal job understanding each student and what's going on, and we'll make those decisions for them and help them along through as far as that location. So when it gets down to it, is that we're just asking kids, walk through the doors, your phone is off. When you leave the building, your phone can be turned back on. And that's how the day goes there. And so in the first two is more that parents are getting a phone call from the student. Once that third one happens, yes, the parent is informed, but then the student knows, okay, I bring it in, goes in this into the office, into the spot, take my key, and I leave for the day, and I come back and get it when I'm done.
I would say that Gary's motion is broad and vague in the fact that we are showing our support with either a yes or a no vote at this time, and we're going to let the administration move forward with tweaking their rubric, rewriting this policy, getting it in for a first reading as soon as possible, and we'll go from there.
I have, when we talk about discipline and we have discipline hearings, there's one thing that I bring up all the time. It's that we do the same thing for every student. That if this student is held to a standard, that student is held to the standard, and that student is held to it. So if the steps say you go from 1 through 3, then everybody goes through 1 through 3. And if you're allowed to come back from 3 to 1, everybody has that opportunity equally to come back from 3 to 1. The ambiguity of that, beyond the ambiguity of who has access to confidential information on the phone, are my biggest qualms to this.
Do you think we could do a little providing information on what the first few weeks look like, how many people you've had to...
I asked Tom, the high school principal, there will be a surveys throughout the year, and so you're going to get that data on how students are viewing this. And it even goes for our staff, too. You know, only on, it's your time, can you have your phone out? Your phone is put away. But yes, that data, we're going to track a lot of stuff at, right out of the box right there. Darla, I appreciate your point of back to the consistency and for all students. And when we think in terms of, we're talking fifth grade and up here, because kindergarten through fourth grade does not, cell phones cannot be brought to school, is that I will share that point with our administrators, but I do know that each child is different on what may have occurred, that their phone is going into the office. And why some kids may, they may see their phone back in their hands. But again, it's back in their hands only for the purpose of trying to help encourage them to be more disciplined. At the end of the day, if for some of the kids, they're never going to get that chance because they're just going to blow through it. It's going to be right back there. And so our administrators are not going to fight it. And so
but that's,
back to working with, right. You know, can I use Gary as an example again? He sent to the right of me, and I have to do this because of something I said earlier to him. So I got to make him feel better. And
oh,
so,
thanks.
Is this, you know, I could issue you back your phone so that way you can always bring it back in. But are you in a position where you're ready to be able to handle that? Or do you think the process we have of you keeping it in my office every single day is the best one for you? What do you think?
Keep it in the office.
Okay. Now, here, I have that same conversation. Now I'm affording it, but you want to have that opportunity for the students to really to own, can I handle this or not? And not be into that violation. I think that at the end of the day, the penalty for the violation is what? Phone's put in the office. Yeah. You got to call home. That's the level of severity in what we're doing.
So there's one thing that we disagree on is the discipline-based system and the priority that is given. And in the language, it says that it could be returned after the student complies with the disciplinary consequences that are imposed. And so that is the discipline-based education system that I'm like, okay, what disciplines are going to be imposed on each student? I don't have that language. I don't even know what they are. Like, what are you going to do? I thought it was the rubric. You're going to take the phone. But what student disciplinary returned after student complies with disciplinary consequences are imposed. And then it also says people are required to report people violating. So tell students to tell on other students and to report. And that's I just don't here. Think, huh?
That's in here?
It's in the policy, I believe. Yeah, it's in the policy. I mean, I'm just telling you what my concerns are in disciplinary, the follow through in disciplinary, and I don't know what these consequences are that are going to be imposed. They're not in the rubric.
I think that's a discussion for the policy where today we're voting on the rubric.
Yeah. But the rubric just addresses the discipline part of it. And so this is saying there's discipline consequences. I say, are the consequences just that you take the phone? If that's how do you comply? I'm starting to follow.
The discipline is really easy.
My mic on?
So the discipline is really simple. Is, you know, David, cell phone violation, you need to turn your phone in to the office and make a phone call home. No problem. He does it. Okay. Whereas Cindy, cell phone violation, and you turn your phone in the office, I'm not doing it. And you hear a whole lot of other stuff. And all of a sudden it goes worse, worse, and worse. Now Cindy has just earned herself further discipline because now it's in subordination. But that's why that's that grace period at the beginning, because we have to understand why Cindy is throwing the tantrum that Cindy is throwing over what we're asking her to do. Right. So we got to dig out and find out the why.
And I
so
completely.
After we get through that first few weeks, Cindy starts blowing it up. Now we're going to.
Right.
So there's still going to be a level of compassion. At the end of the day, you know, the phone is not going to be in their hands.
So we're probably almost not going to agree on the disciplinary, high disciplinary focus that is going on within the system. We don't agree on that. And so that's how that plays into this. I don't see it as being a setup where everybody gets the same I see it the same thing that happened when people come into discipline hearings. That person got in trouble in front of us and one time, and that person did it seven times before they came in. And so I see the ambiguity in what is currently operating in our system based on discipline. And I see the ambiguity that and this language, and that's just my point. That's my point.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes, Mrs. Ferrazzi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Dinkin.
Yes.
Mrs. Meyer.
No.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes, and the motion passes 6-1.
Thank you, everybody. We'll make sure that's the policy as a whole gets on into our docket of materials to review for policies. So our next item is the chiller repairs. Mr. Payne.
Thank you, Mr. Shaw. We're asking the board to approve the purchase of chiller repairs from Train at a cost not to exceed $28,600. The general operations budget will be used for this purchase. And I do have Mr. Zimmerman here to answer any questions on this repair if you have them.
Okay. Thank you, David. Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the purchase of the chiller repairs from Train at a cost of $28,600. It will be coming out of the general operations budget.
Do we have support?
Support.
Discussion. I guess, what building is this for?
This is for the high school. And normally we would just approve it as an emergency, but what happened was we had some electrical issues that were may or may not be causing this. And DT was going to give us a report on the electrical for a period of time. Well, what happened is repairs started to come in, and when we got all three together and it was so close to a board meeting, I just preferred to take it to the board, full transparency. But there is some issues, and Larry can speak to them as far as what it will replace, some fan motors and whatnot. But it's happened over a little bit of time. It's not just like 2 days ago, these all broke.
What's the age of this chiller?
This was bid pack one. Okay. So three or four years.
3 years.
Yeah.
3 years. Okay. So obviously no warranty. No.
And is this due, Larry, more to the electrical issue or are the chillers having issues?
We know we're having electrical issues, so that's why we had DTE come out. They gave us a clean bill. So now in order to have any other electrical work done, they want everything back up running at full capacity. So we have a study done after the change.
On the live stream can
You want to repeat that on the microphone?
Mike.
You better come up.
Come on, Larry.
Come on.
We want everybody at home to be able to hear you.
You just missed your voice.
It actually did pick it up. I did see it on the...
It did pick it up.
What we had was we had DTE come out to make sure we had clean power because our electricians said we were having some sags and some peaks. So after once they did their study, they said, come the transformer, we're clean. So our next part is we'll have a company come in and do some more work for us. Yeah. But they said this chiller has to be up running at max amperage. Okay. The only way to do that is repair it.
Well, here's the question. If you repair it and you have more electrical issues, is there a risk that it's going to be damaged?
All these parts will be guaranteed that we're putting in.
Okay, good. Don't want to pay for it twice.
No, don't want to pay for it twice. I agree.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Any other questions, anybody?
It's actually refrigerated.
Thank you, Larry.
What's a chiller? I don't know what a chiller is.
It chills the water. That's your main air conditioning unit out there.
Okay.
If we wind up losing half of the other one, we won't have school.
Okay. We thought it was a refrigerator. Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion by the board? If not, Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes. Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes, and the motion passes 7-0.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Old business. We have no old business tonight, so then I'll turn it over to Superintendent Shaw for his comment.
All right. Well, thank you very much. So our summer programs and graduation or summer programs are wrapping up, as you saw at Knabush last night. So a big thank you to Andrea and her team for our summer work. Graduation is next Thursday, the 31st at 6 p.m. out at the high school. I think we're looking at 11, 12 kids that will have made it through. New student registration begins online. Kindergarten and families new to district. And then as just a reminder, because that's what we love to do to spoil the summer, September 2nd, Tuesday is our first day of school, and open houses are on August 27th. Spoiler. Annual info packets for returning students. That is almost finished up right now. Kim Jones is wrapping that up. We're expecting hopefully the end of this week, beginning of next, that re-registration packet will be out. And we're going to really ask parents, and our parents, I want to put a big thank you out, did a great job when it came to opting in or out for busing. I think it was like 2,300 parents got on there and did that, which was, 3, how much was it?
More than 3,000 students.
Over 3,000. Thank you, 3,000. So that's huge because that helps Patty and her team get all buses routed, get kids on it. So that'll make it easier for our parents so that opening day will be a much smoother day, that first day. Last year was the first year, and again, kudos to our transportation department, we didn't have to have, Dave, how many people have we always sent out to Fenmore to handle the phones in the past?
Sometimes 4 to 6, depending on.
Last year, the staff at Fenmore handled it themselves. And so this work that they're doing right now is going to continually make that so that first day is a lot less anxious for our parents. Hey, and then the Monroe County Fair is next week. Sunday is the fair parade, so be sure to get out and get a good spot in the fair parade unless you get a chance to walk in it. And then I'll just be praying for you to deal with the heat of that walk. First Merchants Expo building, we're inside there in space number 52, Little Red Schoolhouse, so get out there and see y'all. And then the last item was the 7th, the bike path. Okay, that was brought up. So I met with John Manor the other day, actually about 2 weeks ago, and he is with Monroe Township, and talked to him about that area. And so they're going to take it upon themselves to handle putting in a path that goes from, and I just drew a blank of the very last road that
Westwood
out to 7th Street, because we already have a path onto our grounds off of Westwood. So the township's going to take care of doing what they need to do right there. And it's
Monroe High School.
So that will allow people access from 7th Street to have a path, go right on to Westwood and on to it. And it also will shoot them up to Waterloo. So it's a great opportunity for both. I'm just thrilled that the township is taking it upon themselves just to deal with it. And it's a short path. I mean, from where the bike path is to the road, if that's 150 feet, I'd be surprised. So it's not much. They're going to just work with a couple of the two homeowners right there, probably like a 4-foot-wide path, and it's done. So I just want to let you know, because I know that was brought up, and I haven't had a chance to talk to the board president at the ISD about that, to let him know that that's being worked out. He will be thrilled to death when that is. So that's all I have tonight, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Superintendent Shaw. Public commentary, any topic? Do we have any? Okay. Thank you. Board member commentary. Any board member comments tonight? We'll start with Brian.
Good.
Okay. Carrie? Darla?
Wow. I know. I was waiting for that. I know. I do have a couple things, but I'm passing on it for tonight. I think I've spoken enough.
Gary? Stacy? Mary?
I am so excited about the bike path. So for just a little more detail, so the bike path that is currently being installed around Monroe County, that's going to connect into the Riverwalk, that's going to go all the way out to Sterling State Park in the end. There is a path that is going, there's a portion of the path that's going to be near Waterloo Elementary School, and also a portion of the path that's going to be pretty close to Monroe High School. And so I originally spoke with Dale Slover, who is part of the Monroe County ISD School Board, because he had originally worked with an organization that was talking about the plans for this walking path a long time ago. And he mentioned that, like, it's going to be coming close to the schools and how cool it would be to connect in. And so I took it to Tom and I took it to Andy, and then the two of them must have, like, took it and run, because this is very, very exciting. So when those two walking paths are connected into the larger walkway, it'll give our students and our families opportunities to walk and ride their bikes to school safely. So they won't have to do that along the sides of those, like, super, like, high mile per hour roads. They'll be able to do it safely on designated bike paths and walking paths, which is very, very exciting. So thank you very much for everything that you did, for like all the phone calls and the emails and whatever you did to help make that happen. And I think that that is very, very exciting. And it's also a possible opportunity for like our dual enrollment students to like ride their bikes and skateboards to the community college and things like that. So it's a really wonderful thing. So thank you very much.
Anything else? Okay. Just a kind of a note on that, because part of that is going up North Custer. And as a result, they had to put a new box culvert in by Raisinville. And that should be complete this week so they can reopen North Custer to the fair.
The lines were being painted today.
A couple other things. If you haven't been out by Custer, the new drive for the parent, called the parent drive, is nearing completion. It's quite a wide path with
very large.
So that certainly should help the traffic situation on Auburn Road there, which the local people should be pretty happy about.
Four
lanes going down to one. That's going to be the interesting part.
It's going well at Raisinville.
Yes. Yeah. Also, I was by the high school yesterday. The tennis courts are coming along nice. They were looked like they were sealing them. They still have some fencing to put up, but should be ready for this fall. And that's all I have. Okay. That really concludes our agenda for this evening. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Do we have support?
Support.
Show of hands. Thank you. The Monroe Public Schools Board of Education meeting for Tuesday, July 22nd, 2025 is adjourned. The time is 7:52.
All right. Thank